Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. It's very, very tough times for people in uniform out there, both domestically and in foreign lands. So please, please let them know that you know they're there. We want to welcome our panel tonight. We've got the ever loving and always effervescent Dr. Chris. We got Bob coming in from the beautiful shores of Washington and Maryland, and the handsome and always talented Mr. Ty coming in from Wilmington, Delaware. So, gentlemen, we hope you all had a good week. Ty, tell us what you thought about the Fury fight.
Hey, first of all, it's good to talk to you guys. I haven't spoken to you guys in a couple of weeks. Good to be back. If you remember, the last time I was on the show, I believe Russell was on, and you asked for a prediction on the Fury-Wilder fight. And if you guys remember, I predicted that Fury would stop Wilder. And the fight basically took the pattern that I thought it would take. And I don't know if you remember, but back when Tyson Fury fought Vladimir Klitschko, I also predicted he would beat Vladimir, but I thought he would beat Vladimir fighting the way he fought Wilder the other night. And the reason being is because Vladimir, although a significantly more complete fighter than Wilder, he was a guy who specialized at, you know, a certain range and being able to line up, you know, jab his guy to death and then line up his right hand. I knew if you closed the distance on Klitschko, he couldn't fight in that mid or inside range, and I figured Tyson Fury would do that. Well, Deontay Wilder has, you know, similar strengths, but significantly not as complete as Vladimir Klitschko. So I knew that all Tyson Fury had to do was just, you know, he has a herky-jerky style. He feints a lot. And so his feints always threw Deontay Wilder off in the first fight. So I just assumed that if he fainted coming forward, still having a longer reach and being the bigger guy, he could hit Deontay at a range Deontay couldn't hit him at, and then he would smother Deontay's power. So he was going to play the all-the-way-out or all-the-way-in game. He just did it aggressively. So I wasn't the fight went exactly as I thought it would go when I made the prediction. It really did. I wasn't surprised at all. I've just been waiting for Fury to fight like that against Wilder. I thought that was the clear key. You smother Wilder's power, he has no inside game. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Chris?
Well, he picked up a new trainer. Didn't he pick up Emmanuel Stewart's son?
His nephew, Sugar Hill Stewart.
Nephew, somebody in the family. Well, whoever he picked up out of that family is as smart as Emmanuel Stewart, because he turned that fight right around. He made him move forward, and that way, when he moved forward, he could throw that right hand like a damn 12-inch block landing on your head. Then he had a left hook to throw behind it, and he hit Wilder with some vicious body shots. I mean, he caved that one side in during that second round. So he was a much better fighter going forward, and Deontay Wilder was totally lost. He had no idea how to back up and counter Tyson Fury. And then he uses an excuse that uniform was heavy, but that wasn't what was heavy. It was them heavy punches that Tyson Fury was throwing. Nice, like getting hit with a flying, 12-inch block. I mean, he was throwing them, and it turned his entire style around. He had the ideal style to beat Wilder that night, and he did it. And I thought it was very impressive. He fooled me, and took the initiative, and that's all he needed to do. Like you say, he's bigger, he's heavier, he's stronger, and he's got a better right hand. And then he had a left hook to throw behind the right hand. And if you recall, I think it was a sixth round, he caved his side in with a hell of a body shot, and they called that fight off. And I'm kind of glad they did, because he was bleeding out the ear bad.
Yeah.
And then through the mouth bad. And he had nothing left. And I think he was ready to get seriously hurt. If he caught another couple of headshots, and I think the corner man did the right thing throwing that towel in.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of discussion as to whether that should have been done, whether it shouldn't have been done. And there was a discussion that after the fight, Wilder said that the cut in his ear threw off his equilibrium, and then the next thing he said was the suit of armor or whatever it was he wore that wore his legs down. Coming into the ring, so he's had so many different excuses for just getting. He went into the ring with a 40 pound difference. I mean, Fury was 286, 276, and he was going in at 234, so he was at a disadvantage right there to start out with, as far as I was concerned, but. What surprised me, or didn't surprise me, I should say, is that they immediately last week exercised the rematch clause for July. It was supposed to be.
I don't think Wilder did himself You know, I'm not. I don't. I'm not going to listen to any excuses, but I do not think he did himself any favor by coming in at 231 pounds. I knew he was trying to somewhat mitigate Tyson's weight advantage. Tyson Fury had like a 44 pound advantage on him the first time.
Yeah.
Still ended up with a 42 pound advantage on him this time. So I know he was coming in heavier to mitigate the weight advantage, but it was the heaviest Deontay Wilder fought at. His musculature is really defined and more so upper body. He's kind of got skinny legs, so he's a little top heavy. So I thought, you know, I thought he was trying to perform at a weight that was very, I'm not going to say it was uncomfortable because I'm not in his body, but he was trying to perform at a career heavy weight. And to me, he's always looked quicker and best right around 220 pounds. However, I do not think he would have beat Tyson Fury regardless that night. I always felt that Tyson Fury, because of his attributes, his height, in his range, he's got an 83-inch reach, which is crazy that his reach at 6'9 is an inch shorter than John Bones Jones at 6'4. That's just insane to me. But he's got an 83-inch reach. He's 6'9", 276 pounds. And the guy can box. He's awkward, but he's very fluid. He's a better boxer than Deontay Wilder. So I knew if he ever decided to initiate his physical advantages behind his IQ and his skill set, the one thing about Deontay Wilder is, as dangerous as he, a puncher as he is, he doesn't have the footwork that allows him to stop and be able to plant on a target like Tyson Fury. If you notice, any time he would get backed up by Fury's jab, he would be out of position. His feet would cross over. He can't do that against a guy similar to his range. That's why Gerald Washington, of all people, gave him trouble in the first four rounds just by jabbing him, because Wilder's feet aren't that educated. And so just jab him backwards and he loses his balance and he can't counter. He can counter against a smaller guy like Arthur Spilska, but he can't do that against a Tyson Fury. So it just seemed logical to me that if Fury came forward, he would have the better of Wilder, which he did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I was going to say, as far as Wilder taking a rematch clause, you know, that's up to him and his handlers. Obviously, they know more than we do. But judging by what I saw, Wilder, because of his power, if he gets that space to generate that force through that punch, you know, he sends the tip of the whip. If he gets that tip of the whip off, then he could end Tyson Fury's night. But I think it's pretty simple that if you can only strike with the tip of the whip, then you just grab the guy before you get the whip off. And that's kind of what Fury was doing. So I don't see it being any different in the third fight. But if they want to do it, it's cool. I watch.
I'm shocked that they want to have a rematch so soon. He's got to heal up. That ear was badly injured. That's where people, when they get a fractured skull, they bleed out the ear. And that's what the hell I was thinking. I was thinking, I wonder if he cracked that little thin bone near the ear, and this guy hurt worse than we think he is. And I thought, you know what? They better stop this damn fight before he dies.
I thought the same thing, but ultimately it was just a cut in the ear. That's all it was. It was just a cut in the ear.
Yeah, you couldn't see during the fight.
No, busted eardrum. Yeah, I thought it was a busted eardrum. I really did.
Well, that's what I thought it was, with a busted eardrum, because he was complaining about the equilibrium and whatnot. Jumping in on that, you know, if it was just a cut ear, that's different. But you busted eardrum, and you know, I got to jump in on this. You know, I mean, talking with you guys, you know, pertinent to this last year, freaking love it. You guys got me more into boxing than ever. You know, I'm more of an MMA guy. But the Tyson Fury, they had that third one signed before they even stepped in that ring. We knew that was going to happen. You know, again, back to the money aspect, that was already going to happen no matter what came out of it. And then, you know, when you got to the end, you know, you turned it into the USA versus the UK. But you know, it was the strong, stout guy against the big gypsy king or queen. I don't friggin' know. But, dude, that was the most fabulous Rocky Balboa set up, like movie type trailer, like, you know, carried out in the ring, the big mask, everyone's making excuses. If you know, if the mask is heavy, how about this? Don't wear it. You know what I mean? Like, I got nothing for you. You don't get to hide behind that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, oh, my jock was itching. My shorts were tight. Stop it. Stop right now. You've got a choice of what you put on back there. You know, from the MMA side of things, I'll leg kick you. I don't want to hear it. But, you know, going into that, what scared me, though, and why I'm glad they stopped it, is because the height difference, you know, Fury Wilder, he was coming over with that big hand, right hand, and it's catching, like, the back part of the skull. Now,
exactly.
Fighter knows that you've got the chin as a cross point. You drop a good cross in there, you get a knockout. And I fight with a lot of people in this cardio kickbox, and I'm trying to teach real connect technique. If you don't step off to the side, your left hooks aren't, you're looking for temple, jaw connection, base of the ear, trap, neck. You know, I mean, these are your knockouts. So you can't fight someone straight in front of them unless you plan on, you know, unless they're drunk, unless you're fighting somebody at a bar. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to teach people real life technique. You've got to move in. You've got to get close. I mean, my joke is, you know, kickboxers to boxers. Boxers get in close enough to smell if they're wearing deodorant. You know what I mean? Kickboxers stay way far away. You know, boxers get in there, hug, get close, but you're looking for their vitals. I can't reach your kidney if I'm standing in front of you. So why even throw that power? But getting back to the point, you know, Fury's throwing these huge overhand rights, and they're hitting the back of the skull. Okay, those are the concussions people don't come back from, and that's what scares me. So I, you know, again, it takes a special kind of stupid to get in the ring. I raise my hand. That's me. Okay, but we need people smarter than us, because as a fighter, you're in there. You've got that mentality: fight or die. And you, like, I've had my nose smeared over my face. I get upset when the ref stopped it. But people are smarter than us, man. They see what's happening. It's about safety first. And I'm glad they stopped it, because there will be a third. If they wouldn't have stopped that, whether there was a concussion or a broken eardrum, and Fury kept throwing those big overhand rights, I don't know if Wilder would have
ruined
that.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd have ruined him. There was a fighter named Richard Colon, who was a Puerto Rican fighter, prospect, had a, you know, decorated amateur, and he was in a fight, and he kept getting, this was just like last year, a couple years ago, he kept getting hit behind the head, and he eventually fell and lapsed into a coma. He's a vegetable now. Rabbit punches.
Can't be happening.
Yeah. I guess the next one I really wanted to get all you guys' thoughts on was that Eddie Hearn now comes out and says that Anthony Joshua would take Tyson if they were to fight this summer. Let's start, I guess, with Chris. What's your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of discussion on that already, that the big guy from England can't beat him. You know, he'd be out jab. You know, he says he's 6'4", but I think he's about 6'2". Anthony Joshua. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't look 6'4 to me. Not when he fought Klitschko.
We always
and
run
a
couple of inches.
Just a couple inches. What the hell? but I think that you know, he's gonna try to box he's gonna try to stay in there and box with him. He's not gonna run either. He's a big, strong guy too. That's gonna be a damn war. I don't think he's going to back up at all. And I know he can fight going backwards, because I've seen him do it. He can counter with a right hand. He's a big, strong guy. But that would be a hell of a fight. But I'd have to give the edge to the gypsy, king of the gypsies. You know, I'd have to give him the edge because he just so damn big. Hard, you know. And like Joshua's a big guy himself, coming to come in about 250, probably. And he's all muscle. So he's going to be slow. And I think that between the jab and the overhand right, I think he can bang Joshua the hell out of there. So we'll see. That would be another great fight. Another great fight to look forward to.
Ty?
Well, you knew once, you knew if there was going to be a definitive and very conclusive winner and the Wilder Fury match, then the drums would start banging for the Joshua fight, right? So we could have an undisputed champion, specifically with Joshua regaining his luster with his tepid but victorious performance over Andy Ruiz. With that said, we had a very conclusive winner in Tyson Fury, so now the drums are being banged for the Anthony Joshua fight. But just like Bob was saying, man, before the when they signed the second fight, they signed the trilogy between Wilder and Fury. Those fights were made in tandem.
Right.
We're going to have two more.
Right.
So if Wilder, you know, he had 30 days after the fight to exercise the rematch clause, he said he's going to do it. If he does that, then Joshua and Hearn would have to pay Wilder step-aside money to go ahead and step aside so Joshua and Fury could fight. Well, here's the reality of that, too. They're also different networks. Now, even though PBC, Fox, and ESPN work together for Fury Wilder, you'd have to have ESPN work together with the Zone to get Joshua Fury. There's going to be a lot of time. I mean, that's going to just take a while to make that fight. Then again, like I said, with the rematch clause in place, Wilder would absolutely stand to make more money in the rematch with Tyson Fury than he would taking step aside money. So chances are, like Bob was saying, we will probably see that rematch before Joshua and Tyson Fury could get in the ring. And Fury still has a date with Pulev coming up too, so and he has to take every mandatory.
Yeah. I had that was
one Bob Arum is not going to let that fight occur without a concrete rematch. That greedy
exactly.
SB. He ain't letting any nickel get away from him. You know,
he's
burning me up
too, right? Here's what you also got to consider too, right? Wilder has the rematch clause. That's pretty ironclad. What could very well happen is they both take tune-up interim fights. Where Wilder's like, all right, let me get one more. You know, his team says, hey, let's get Wilder one fight in between before the Fury rematch to get his confidence back, build up the public. They'll do a showcase with Fury on ESPN, and they'll come back, like, you know, later in the year or early next year. Like, I see that kind of him dealing with Wilder. He's got some time to deal with Wilder, and I can see the interim fight happening in between. And it wouldn't be Joshua. Tyson Fury would satisfy his mandatory. Deontay Wilder would take a tune-up fight, then a rematch. It'll be a while before you see Joshua in a ring with one of those guys.
I don't think Wilder will be ready for a rematch that quick. With that ear and the beating he took mentally, physically, he's got to come back two or three different ways, not only physically. He's got to get his head together on his, you know. He was at a total state of shock after the fight. When his wife was rubbing his hand, he's laying there. He was totally wiped out. I mean, mentally, physically, he's got a lot to come back from. So, but he can delay
that
fight a little bit.
Yeah, that fight. It's February. That fight, I don't think would happen at least until November. There's a good chance that they could take interim fights in between. You know, bring Deontay Wilder a patsy for him to knock out and the public could remember his power again and have Tyson Fury do a showcase. Tyson Fury never looks good in showcase fights, rarely looks good in showcase fights. He's just not up for him. And all of a sudden, you start building the third fight up again. I could really see that happening because Deontay Wilder may need to get his confidence back. Yeah.
But knowing how Frankie Fletcher and Elvin Thompson, when they went up to see Arum, he didn't take prisoners. You do what he wants to do. So he's calling the shots. And
Tyson Fury is conquering America right now. He's bigger than Joshua. So, I mean, they definitely call the shot. They definitely call the shot.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Well, it was a great fight, great to see.
Great to see.
Yeah.
$40 million apiece. Sure. That's not bad. Not a bad day.
Well, you know, talking price, that you
didn't
know.
Didn't the most money since Holyfield for a heavyweight fight?
Yes. Since 99, yeah.
They're not even going to reveal how much. I don't believe those guys. I don't believe they'll tell you how much. But I know it's a lot. I mean, I know it's a massive amount of money that they gross, but I don't think we're going to get a true picture of that for some reason. I don't know why, but that was I remember the Holyfield fight, and I remember when Lou Dubas said that it grossed $72 million worldwide. They thought that was phenomenal. That was he said that at a banquet down in South Philadelphia. So we grossed $72 million on papers, and this thing buried that one. So, God, you know, there must be a lot of money out there. And and like you say, when you get Aram around there, you're not going to get any breaks. He's going to call the shots, and he's going to delay this thing. You watch. He's going to delay this thing until Wilder heals up and it looks better. And where
I don't know
how many more paydays he wants, but Christ, you know, he's got to have a ton of money, that guy.
Sure.
So we'll see.
When you talk about money, it's funny you said that because today they in the trades it popped up that Canelo Alvarez is trying to talk Billy Joe Saunders into his. You know, he's already said he'll fight May 2nd. I don't know why he usually fights May 5th, but he's going to fight May 2nd this year, and they've offered Saunders $7.5 million to take the contract. And I guess Saunders isn't happy with either the fight or with the money. What do you think, Ty?
So one of the things Canelo came out and said recently was that you know, everybody wants a fortune to fight him, and that's very much true. And part of the problem is that Danny Jacobs and Sergey Kovalev, they got about $12 million each to fight Canelo. Hence, Billy Joe is not being offered around $12 million each, around $12 million. Same thing happened with Liam Smith. So these guys feel they're being lowballed. Even though these will be career high paydays for them, by far, they feel they're being lowballed in accord with market value. That's part of the problem. And so he's been having a hard time trying to secure an opponent. Specifically because these guys are I don't want to say, you know, if they're overestimating their market value. And at the same time, they know DAZN puts pressure on Canelo to fight a certain type of opponent. So, you know, Canelo's not going to, you know, fight a tune-up fight. He's going to fight somebody of caliber. And so these guys are kind of pricing themselves out of what Golden Boy and Canelo's looking for. That's been the problem.
But, you know, they also were talking, you talk trilogies, he wants a trilogy with Triple G. Do you see that happening?
If Canelo wants it, it definitely could happen. As long as, well, Triple G is supposed to fight a mandatory, and he should roll over this guy. This guy is undefeated, but he's got like 6 knockouts. Saw him fight, he's Triple G. Even at this stage, should roll over him. But the fact of the matter is, we know Triple G's declined. He has a granite chin, but he doesn't seem to take combinations well. They back him off and freeze him up. And I, you know, let's be honest, Canelo sees a guy he could go ahead and get a very definitive victory over at this point. And it still is the biggest fight to be made right now in the division. I think Canelo wouldn't fight him at middleweight. I do think Canelo would probably more than likely pull him up to 168, which is where he would fight Billy Joe Saunders. So interesting developments. But I absolutely potentially see that happening in the fall if they both win their next fights.
Can I jump in real quick? The part, you know, on the May side that upsets me is I know a lot of MMA people, myself included. I've had a ton of surgeries. There's no one in MMA that would pass up a fight for $7 million. None of us.
Not one of us.
We would take the ass beating of a lifetime for $7 million.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? It just frustrates me seeing that these people are so snobby like that. You're talking Pacquiao and Mayweather. These people made more money in one night than 17 countries make in a year. Like, you know, I'm always back to the money. I mean, Ty was talking earlier about the Passover fights. My favorite fight of my career, I got paid to go to Kazakhstan, Russia. A war broke out, and I got $5,000 for just training. I didn't have to go. It was my, I will take a Passover fight any day of my life.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So,
sure.
Yep. So Billy Joe Saunders is apparently 7 point whatever million is not enough for him.
7.5,
even though he never made that for one fight before in his life. Not enough.
I have metal knees, so. Both metal knees and a metal neck. I'll take that fight tomorrow. My wife even vouches for that. For a listener to go see the doctor. She's like, yeah, you can take that fight.
All right. Since we got to that point, let's talk about Floyd Mayweather said last week that he would consider fighting Conor McGregor again if the money's right. Bob, do you think that's going to happen?
If they can get the money, I mean, Mayweather Productions gets in there, they set it up. If Mayweather can get a comfortable little purse, he knows he's going to win as long as it's boxing rules. It's going to win again. It would give Conor his little deal so he can push his little alcohol. I mean, of course it'll happen if the money's right. It all comes down to the money. I was talking about this to somebody the other day. Like, I played high school football. I played, I wrestled in high school. But I was like, there's so much politics in this stuff. You know what I mean? I'm going to get into something that's one-on-one competition. There's no politics. I got into MMA. Whoopsie. You know, if you go to someone's backyard and you don't get the absolute knockout, you know, we had a pro fighter from our gym the other day. He went down to Maryland Live Casino and fought, and the other guy was from Delaware. Controversial, we'd say out of 6 rounds, 4-2, but it could have gone, half and half. But again, the judges in the local state are going to vote for the local candidate. It just happens.
Yeah.
It's just there. You got to get a complete knockout, we go back to the John Jones and, talking about the last fight there, everyone says, oh, Jones, he held it together for the last few rounds. No, he was tired and he held down, but the judges gave it to him, okay? Because if you don't go and beat the champ with a knockout or an actual submission or an obvious – I mean, I've seen boxing and MMA be an obvious score one way or the other, and they're like, well, this is a hometown guy. I've lost that way. I've beat a guy down, 4 out of 5 rounds and then ended up losing the decision. Because if you don't get the knockout, they're not going to give it to you. And that's just a frustrating part of it. We're all in there trying to get our paid due, our money. I mean, it's not like, everyone's out there. And I'm not throwing anything about anybody. But if you go to your job and you type all day and you're like, oh, I hate this. Well, you're not getting beat down. You want to get paid as much money for that small amount of time as possible. You know what I mean? I'm not taking anything from anybody, but everyone's trying to, we're Americans. We're trying to get as paid for as much money as possible for little work as possible. That's just our new thing.
And the thing too is, Bob, if you have a bad day at the office, it affects your earning potential. Or if you're supposed to get a decision that doesn't go your way, it affects your earning potential. If the typist has a bad day at the office, they just come back and have another day. You know what
they
I mean?
Get,
so
they,
exactly that. It's like not only is your body on the line, but like when Dominic Reyes lost that decision, that literally affected millions of dollars for this kid. You know what I mean?
And for that,
one of the things I hate, and I'm not going to get into who I thought won that fight, but one of the things I kind of hate is when you hear somebody say, well, he's the champion, you got to take it from the champion. No, if you win the fight, if you win more rounds, you win the fight. Period. Period. That's just all it should be. I don't care because both guys are sacrificed to be there. So I don't think I don't agree with the whole, well, he didn't take it from the champion. But he beat him. Simple as that. Whether he's John Jones or whomever. I don't buy or subscribe to that theory at all.
Yeah.
Guys put too much on the line, and they're not only their health, but their finances, and it affects their future earning potential. If you don't get that strap, and you should have gotten that strap, that can cost you millions of dollars, man. So I just I don't buy that. Things just too much on the line.
You
to be
him a picture of me of a bad day at work. You know what I mean? Because our bad day at work is, you know, it's one thing I love about our sport. There's immediate negative and positive consequences. Immediate. There's no guessing. There's no lying and spiting. It's right there in your face, man. You're either bleeding or you're not. So you do the good job, the best job possible. And you're either good or you're not.
Yeah.
You don't want to push it. But, I mean, when we have a bad day at work, we go home with broken noses, broken bones, and stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody else have a bad day at work. It's about their feelings. Like, I'm over it.
Yeah. And the big thing to me, somebody has a bad day at work, they'll come back the next day and they're still getting the same salary. You guys come back the next day and the salary's a little less. You know what I mean?
It's oh, way less.
Yeah. You know, so I just.
Bob, while we're talking to MMA, what happened with the Tito Ortiz thing? He had his win was overthrown by the Texas Commission. Do you have any idea on that?
Yeah. So Tito, he fought a WWE type dude, El Patron. Crossing over. He did a couple of fights, but they fought in December. Tito came up positive for a substance, but it was doctor prescribed. And so it was only a few weeks or months or whatever, I guess, and that was overturned pretty quick because, you know, the Texas Commission, the Nevada Commission, everyone's jumping so hard on performance enhancing, PEDs, right? Okay. So I get that. You know, we don't want to encourage anyone doing anything out of the normal. But let me throw this out there to anyone that's never competed on a professional level. I never did steroids, but I get it. You know what I mean? I understand it. That helped you heal, that helps you get back in the ring. I mean, I never did it, like I said, but I get the people I'd come across that did it. Now, having said that, because, again, it's not like you're typing all day or thinking things up. You know, you're getting beat down, and most people have never been in a fight, much less many fights. And you don't look at, you know, an MMA and boxing. You know, the training is what you're getting paid for. Because, you know, if you're getting your ass beat for free for years in the amateurs, you know, it takes a while to get up there to get paid. That's a free beating, you know, and you got to go home and lick those wounds and pay for those insurance costs and all this other stuff, concussions and bloody noses, broken bones, that stuff adds up. Okay. So I get it when you're trying to compete at that level. But when any fighter, and again, I talk to other people, because the new rage these days is like all these kids want to be popular on Snapchat, but whatever. But you get offended if I say the wrong thing. Like I'm one person. You have thousand people. You got to understand. You got to take a grain of salt with everything once you get in the limelight. So once you get to the pro level and these guys are taking any type of supplement to get to the edge, I don't condone it. I'm just saying I get it. And then also, you're under the scrutiny of the public. So if Tito Ortiz, who we know has back problems already, you know, and he's still competing at an older age, has some sort of doctor-prescribed drug to get through his day, I get it. And then, but then they test him at the Texas, their boxing commission, and they're like, well, you know, we're not going to give it to you because though you won, it might be a PED. We got to find out if the doctor prescribed, which it was. Tito Ortiz was totally fine, so they did give it back to him. But you know, again, it is what it is. Then you fight over to. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and then, you know, cutting over to, Norfolk UFC tonight in Norfolk. Norfolk, Virginia. My wife was, she was out in the Navy out there. I mean, that's a hard town. So I think it's great. The last ones were out there with Pettis and, I can't remember his name. But they did a great fight out there. So they're out there tonight. And it just recently finished. Couple of KOs, few decisions, but that's great for that town.
It's over?
Yeah, I just finished. Phillips won.
Oh, cool.
Our decision by over Silva. Phillips won over Silva by decision. Before that, Allen got a TKO over Brees. Before that, there was a lot of decisions. There was only two TKOs of the night on the main card. So, and again,
all right,
cool. A lot of things are going to decision. And that's the thing. I mean, as a fighter, we talk all the time. As soon as you hear that clicker, the last 30 seconds, last 10 seconds, don't let it go to decisions. Never, as a fighter, never leave your life in the hands of a judge. There it is. That's why we're going to fight as hard as we do.
Yeah. So subjective. Yeah, I'm gonna go. Back and before I watch the fight tonight, I'm gonna go back and watch that UFC card. I didn't know it was on already, so I'll just go back and watch the replay. Cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that. I wanted to see a couple of the ladies fight. Megan Anderson fight. I kind of like her. So.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of press all of a sudden. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but in the last. I guess the last 2 weeks on MMA news, she's been getting some press here and there. That name had just popped up.
Bob Alexander, or Bob.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm watching right now as we're talking? I'm watching a replay of the Israel Adesanya Robert Whittaker fight. And Whittaker is going. I absolutely believe he's going to be not Whittaker. Israel is going to be. Romero, but I don't think he's going to beat Paulo Costa if Costa comes back healthy. Costa gets hit a lot, but Israel is very open. I mean, he's not as slick as I think the public makes it out. He's a very good fighter, but he gets caught with, to be as slick as they say and with his decorated background, he gets caught with a lot of shots that he shouldn't get caught with, and it's because he does a lot of things fundamentally wrong, pulls with his head straight back all the time. And, you know, guys with great reflexes can get away with that, but he gets touched a little more, a little much for my liking. And I think he's going to get knocked out of it.
Well, you know, and Chris, I know you're going to love this one. Person who is who headed the security detail at that fight tonight was Frankie Philippone.
Hey!
Freight Train. Yeah. A good interview with us, and he's now decided to forego his boxing career because he was promoted to sergeant in the police department down there, and tonight was one of the extra duty jobs that he had, and he had that the whole detail. So we want to send a congratulations out to him. He's got a great family. He's a great guy, and a tremendous person. So I just want to bring that little note in there. But, you know, Ty, you talked about – go ahead, Chris.
I was going to ask you a question. Are they going to ask for full pay-per-view fees tonight to watch the rerun like they did last time?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Last time they wanted to be paid in full. Yeah, no, I'm wondering if we're going to let it go for free. I don't know. The last time they wouldn't do it. I didn't know. I paid the first time,
but I noticed on my phone I have ESPN, and it'll come up like a week later, and it'll be like, oh, you can watch the fight, and if you hit it, like so. Like they're not giving you anything for free, so I wouldn't be surprised because of the streaming platforms now. So you know how the fight would be on pay per view, the HBO would show it a week later. With the streaming platforms, they'll rerun it, but you're going to have to buy the platform. So like they may replay the pay per view, but they will only replay it on ESPN Plus. So you have to buy the ESPN Plus platform to rewatch it.
Oh, okay,
like that's what I'm thinking. That's going to be.
Yeah, but see, that's what upsets me about these boxing and kickboxing and MMAs because, you know, they don't, you know, I got friends that, you know, we did a Fury and Wilder fight at his house is $80. Then I've got another friend that owns a bar. Well, he's got to pay thousands of dollars to have it. You know what I mean? And then,
right.
And then, yeah. And then, you know, UFCs, they charge bars by the seat, by the capacity, how many people they can fit in. You get a lot of people that just go there to watch the fights and they order water.
Yeah.
So if these bars aren't making money, when people go out, because they got to pay so much for these fights, but they don't get charged that much for football or soccer or hockey. You know what I mean?
I literally thought the bars just ordered it on pay-per-view like regular house. I didn't know they got
that power is full. Yeah. They paid
goodness. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, Ty, you talked about tonight's fight, Jesse Vargas and Mikey Garcia. How do you think that's going to come out?
You got to favor Mikey. Mikey's the better fighter, but I think it's going to be a really tough fight at certain points, and it could be contentious all the way throughout just because Mikey hasn't proven anything at welterweight. Now, obviously, lost to Errol Spence. He was whitewashed by Errol Spence, who's an elite welterweight. Jesse Vargas is a solid, good welterweight. He's not elite necessarily, but he has enough skills to go ahead and trouble and maybe beat Mikey. So it'll be interesting to see. Mikey's an unproven commodity at that weight. Although, I got to be honest, the fight I'm most looking forward to on that card is the return of the King, Chuck Liddell, Roman Gonzalez fighting Kai Yafai for his title. So I'm really, really looking forward to that fight most of all. But both these fights, as far as that fight and the Jesse Vargas fight, both of these fights go either way. You really just don't know because there are a lot of questions surrounding Mike Garcia at the weight, though we know he's a better fighter. And Chuck Liddell, there are a lot of questions surrounding what he has left, though we know he's historically he's a better fighter. So very interesting card tonight.
Yeah. Chris?
Well, I think that Mikey Garcia, I think he's done at 47. I don't think he's going to do any good. I just don't like him at that weight. And this is only his second fight. He didn't prove anything in the first one, you know, that was Spence. What makes you think he's going to be any better tonight? I don't see it. If he fights a legitimate 147-pounder, he's going to lose. I don't like him at that weight. He was right at 140, should have stayed there and retired from that weight class instead of moving up. The competition's too tough for him. He's not that tall a fighter. He's not that big a puncher. So I think he'll lose that fight. I think he might lose that fight.
You know what? I think Dr. Chris Point, even if he beats Jesse Vargas, he's not going to be able to compete with the elite welterweights. You know, he's not going to be able to compete with the Keith Thurmans and Danny Garcia's and Sean Porter's. You know what I mean? Yeah, could you imagine him against Sean Porter? He's going to erase him. Just like Dr. Chris was saying, he looks fleshy at that weight. It's just not a good weight for him. You know, he's a great fundamentalist, but he's not one of these little guys who has that kind of dynamicism where he could go up and undress a bigger, slower guy. He's not that guy. So beating Jesse Vargas would be a good win because Jesse Vargas is a legit 147-pounder, but Jesse Vargas is Jesse Vargas. He's not, you know, an elite guy. So I agree with Dr. Chris O'Harden.
Yeah. Well, they
Mikey Garcia, his head's too big. His head's too big for 47. Too big a target.
Head, he really does.
Yeah, I don't think he's. He just better off. He should have stayed the hell where he was. I don't know why the hell he guys want to move up. It's difficult to move up.
Walk around.
You know. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, he doesn't have a frame of a 47er. He really doesn't.
No, he doesn't have the frame. Right? His head's upright. He fights with his head up in the air. He can't. Doesn't have. He's only got one style, and I don't think he can change it.
His style is not suited to undress a bigger, stronger guy. You know what I mean? It really
isn't.
Of good skill level. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that kind of movement or that kind of dynamicism and speed or power to do that. What he is a tremendous technician and a very acute counterpuncher. So if you're size for size, I mean, he's going to be trouble against anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have that dynamicism and speed or power to deal with these. Yeah, I really don't like him at that weight. I think I don't know if he could go back to 35. I thought 35 was his best weight. At 40, I think he's a good fighter, but I don't know if I don't think he beats a Josh Taylor or a Regis Prograis. You know what I mean? So I think 47 is way out of his depth personally, but
yeah.
that's where the money is. So.
Yeah.
And you got to understand, he's also chasing a Pacquiao fight, and that's where Pacquiao is.
Right. Well, speaking of Pacquiao, Terrence Crawford came out today. He said that he's ready to fight on June 13th, and he's looking to either get Pacquiao or Brock, Kell Brook. What's your thoughts on
Pacquiao's not going to happen. Yeah, Pacquiao's absolutely not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why that's not going to happen. Because if it didn't happen when Terrence Crawford and Pacquiao were both with top rank, both under Bob Arum, that fight didn't happen. It damn sure is not going to happen now that Pacquiao's with PBC, who barely does business with Bob Arum. There's too many welterweights for Manny Pacquiao to fight. He just fought Keith. There's still Sean Porter, Spence out there, Danny Garcia, Mikey Garcia. There's too many guys for him to fight, and they know they can freeze Terrence Crawford out and Bob Arum out. Kell Brook did just get a victory in his comeback fight, but that was at 154. Don't know what his chances would be at making 147, or, you know, severely what he has left. But that's a fight that could potentially get made. I'd like to see if that fight got made, it get made in the UK. Again, Kell Brook isn't really on the U.S. public's radar at this point in time. So be interesting to see who Terrence Crawford fights.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Wait. Comment on what? What Z just said?
I agree with him. I got nothing to add to that. I think that I think Pacquiao has got one more fight in him. I don't think he's going to fight much longer. I have no idea how that man did what he did or is doing what he's doing right now. I was totally befuddled when he beat Keith, took Keith's best shots, and it didn't affect him. I thought, Christ, Keith would bang him out of there a little bit, maybe knock him around, but he took everything. So he's a lot tougher than I give him credit for. And he's still an exciting fighter. And I think he could have a lot to do with his opponent. He's going to have a lot to do with the opponent. He just can't go out there and fight anybody right now. He's got to look at a guy that he could possibly beat. So I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it was outside
of Pacquiao wanting it real bad. You know,
I don't think it's a secret that he fought Keith with Keith only having that not-so-great performance against Jose Zito Lopez one fight in 2 years. You know what I mean? Admittedly, Keith is a friend, but he caught Keith at a really good time. Keith had been off for 2 years, had the one fight against Jose Zito Lopez where, you know, he got banged around, and then he fights Pacquiao. So, I remember us having Dan on the show and us asking if Keith, you know, needed maybe a few more tune-up fights before he fought Pacquiao. So I didn't like going into that fight just because he had been off for so long. It didn't look great when he returned. So, I love to see Pacquiao fight Sean Porter. Fight Sean Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to get mauled by him. So you're right. It's going to be about, at this stage, and it should be, you know, Pacquiao's earned the right to go ahead and pick his opponent. I mean, he's 40 years old. You know, he's a small guy. He's in danger if he fights any of the top guys. So, go ahead and choose a style matchup that best suits you.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you talked about it earlier. Anthony Joshua has a fight set up for June 20th with Pulev. What's your thoughts on that one, Chris?
Yeah. I was laughing the other night. I saw Ortiz. He said he came in at 283 against the Englishman. Now, I don't know how could he possibly do that. He just, you know what the guy told him when I watched it on a BBC show? You got to get in, buddy. You got to get yourself in shape. We're looking for a way to lose instead of a way to win. And I don't think he should lose this fight. He's still a pretty talented guy, and he's a pretty good puncher. So I got to give him the edge over that. I got to give him the edge. I still like him, but I couldn't believe that the little Mexican came in at 283. I would have taken a 2x4 and slammed him on the side of his damn head if he showed up in a gym that heavy. I'd have been so mad at him if I was his trainer.
Some guys weigh seven pounds to lose. Look
at
for
6 foot
excuse.
Two, he weighed.
And
seven
that's what he was doing in that fight.
Tyson Fury.
I think he was even shocked he knocked Joshua out, and he didn't think he could do it again. He was looking for an excuse. Now he says he's going to train hard, lose the weight, get in shape, and do all this. Yeah. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. So we'll see. But I'll pick Joshua over all the rest of the guys. He's still got too much left. He's never really, other than that knockout by the Mexican, he's never really lost a fight big. So he's still a formidable opponent. I'll pick him.
Yeah. Ty?
Yeah, Pulev is, he's a jabber first. You drop the right hand, but Pulev is not, in my opinion, not complete enough or fresh enough to beat Anthony Joshua. I mean, Anthony Joshua has vulnerabilities, but he's a very good offense fighter. He's a little stiff. He's a little robotic, but what he is, he's compact. He has a good jab. He throws good combinations. And he can fight at three different ranges. We saw against 283-pound Andy Ruiz. He kind of never stopped moving because he didn't want to get caught in exchanges. So he can fight different types of fights. And I just don't think Pulev is complete enough to be able to deal with Anthony Joshua. Dr. Chris mentioned Andy Ruiz weighed 283. 283 at 6'2". He weighed for his championship fight 7 pounds more than Tyson Fury at 6'9". Wow. Horrible.
Dang.
Horrible. Horrible.
Bob, you want to add anything?
No, I nope. Not with the boxing.
Okay. Well, guys, that takes us to right up to our time here. Chris? Thanks a lot for everything. We really appreciate your comments. We appreciate everything you do for us, and I've appreciated your friendship over these last 65 years or 70 years, whatever it is. You've always been a guy in our corner, and we always appreciate it, so thanks very much. Bob, I love having you on. I'd love to listen to your renditions of when you were fighting and then all the information you bring us forward for the MMA and UFC fights, UCF fights, and it really spikes up the show. And Ty, we've known each other for too long to say because everybody will know how old you are if I tell.
I do follow.
Yeah, I do follow you on the Facebook and I can't tell you how proud I know your father would be and how proud Sharon and I are and your mom must be of you.
Thank you.
And Terry's the same way. I mean, when you take a look at Zito and where he was when he was in school and now the man that he's become, like. God,
yeah.
What a dynamic change you guys have made. So, well, you were always that way, but Terry really, Zita really has come a long way. I want to thank all of you. So,
thanks,
ladies and gentlemen, these programs are. Oh, Ty, you want to lead us out? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's been a great show. It's always a pleasure being on with Bob, Dr. Chris, Butch. Everybody have a good, great week. Bob is our co-pilot. Coach Bell's watching over us.
Thank you. Bob, you want to say anything?
All right, guys. Oh, yeah. Take care.
All right, Chris. Thanks, man. I'll call you later on the week.
Every week, Dr. Chris, Ty, I mean, you're so knowledgeable. It's a pleasure every time you guys let me come on. You know, Frank, please send me Ty's info on, hit him up on Facebook. My goal is to sometime, at some point in this future, meet all you guys in person. The fans, thank you so much.
Where are you at, Bob?
I'm in Maryland right now, heading out to the West Coast in about 6 months. The wife got her orders. So we're going from coast to coast, but my Garmin's always broke, so I stopped by Sturgis on the way.
Awesome.
So anybody that ever wants to hit me up, I'm out here. I love this stuff. I do basic, personal training at Title Boxing, all these little box gyms. You know, they're mostly cardio, but I like to get in there and really teach people the real stuff. Self-defense seminars. I got one coming up next week. That kind of stuff. I just love this program. Getting introduced guys through Armstead and Simzak and all those guys. It's just been a pleasure, and I can't thank you guys enough. Thank all the fans for listening every week. I know I'm a little off kilter. We're a little different breed, the MMA side, but I hope I bring you a little something to the program. You guys have brought me a lot of boxing knowledge and gotten me into the boxing stuff more and more. It's a lot bigger on the East Coast than Midwest and West Coast, but phenomenal, and it's just a pleasure. I hope one day, we can all blow the froth off a couple, So
that'd
thank
be awesome.
You so much.
And Bob, I love the fact that you're on. You give me somebody to talk MMA with. So
yep.
That is cool. Yeah,
yep.
Man.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Ty, just so you know, I'm trying to get you, Bob, and Zito to the 27th of March. Russell has another bout, big bout up there at the 2300. So I'm trying to get all of you guys in.
Not unfortunately, but I will actually be in Chicago on the 27th for the Innocence Project conference. I'll be there. So
okay.
Well,
good for that.
All right,
thank
you.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Look forward to some of these days. Hopefully meet you guys. Thanks again every week. Thank you so much.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. Just a handshake, a smile, a wink, whatever you want to do. The best thing you can ever say is be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman J.B. Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Culcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anarfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccia, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Laterno, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Bob McCutcheon, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, and latest entry, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. my brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rain fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Shem alekma yilama Shem ahezah yilama Son ashen evorat fet Haku yigegen ma yilama
Shem alekma yilama
responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Hey, Bob, we love you and miss you.